139, I'm reading part of it, 13 to 18. I learned the Lord's Prayer as a little boy, and this was, as a little boy, my second favorite psalm, because it talks about God knowing us individually and God loving us individually, even before we were known to ourselves. Before we were born, God knit us in our mother's womb. So it is a very, very personal psalm about God's love for each one of us and how unique each of us is. Hear God's word to us. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully and musically made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark is the first gospel writer, and Matthew and Luke take their cue from him, and John takes his cue from no one. But Mark is really not interested in the coming advent of Jesus as an infant, as a child, as a teenager. Mark sees Jesus' worth primarily as an adult. But what we're interested in is in Jesus' predecessor, John the Baptist, who was an ascetic who may have come, he came from the Dead Sea area and maybe was part of the Dead Sea Scroll community, but his message is a little different from theirs, a little kinder and a little gentler, although it's hard to believe when I'm about to read what I will read. And what I want to talk about is God's love of John. Even though we're not sure that I'm having a Christmas party this afternoon, whether I'm not sure whether I'd want to invite John the Baptist to my Christmas party, you know, I think he might say something that would get people riled up. And that might not be bad, that might be good, but still I want us all to eat meatballs this afternoon. John might not be good for our digestion. Hear God's word to us. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so, John came out of the wilderness, baptizing in this desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts, either real locusts or there's a locust bean too that may have been more edible, I'm not sure, although I hear locusts are quite good if they're fried. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. God says to each one of us, you are my one and only. God says to each one of us, you are my one and only. Jeremiah 31:3 said, God says to his people and says to each one of us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And Isaiah 54:8 says, with an everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. And when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he came out of the water, and God the Father said, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." And I hope you hear that voice at some point in your life, that you are God's beloved child, and with you God is well pleased. And Jesus pays it forward in John 15:9 at the Last Supper. Jesus can say, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. And my love will continue to the end of time." And what we just read in the psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How intricate and complex each one of us is. And I love that quote in your bulletin. Frederick Buechner is a writer. He's a wonderful writer. And if you have friends who are not sure whether they want to become a Christian or not, you have them read Frederick Buechner. He's in his 90s. I had the opportunity and joy to have dinner with him about 30 years ago, and he's the real deal. But he writes, "The grace of God means something like, here is your life. You may never have been, but you are. Because the party wouldn't have been complete without you." Imagine that. Here you are, sitting in this time and in this place. You're in this world because the party would not be complete without your singular and wonderful life. And then Buechner goes on to say, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I am with you." You know, we are told in Scripture that Paul says it, that he was set apart to do God's will before he was born. And God tells Jeremiah that before he was born, God had a plan for his life. And before you were born, God has a plan for your life. And it's a wonderful plan. And God wants you to fulfill that plan just as you are and just who you are. And so often we live our lives and we think, you know, I need to be like someone else. We're unhappy with the person God has made us to be. We look around and say, if only I had more smarts, or if I was only a better looking, or if, well, we're all pretty good looking here. I'm looking out at you, good looking group. If only I was someone other than I am. And God says to us, child, I made you who you are for a purpose and a reason, and delight and exult in that fact. Oh yes, we talk about sin. Paul says, you know, I do the very things I don't like to do, I don't want to do, he says in Romans 7:15. And he said, I do it because sin dwells in me, but that means sin is an add-on. It's not who we are. It's an add-on, and when we just remove that, we become the person God created us to be. We don't have to be any more. We don't have to be any less. We just have to be ourselves. Rabbi Akiva could say, when I get to heaven, God won't ask me, Akiva, why were you not more like Moses? God will ask me, Akiva, why were you not more like Akiva? Why were you not more like the person, the wonderful person I made you to be and to live out of your existence? I was talking to a mother a few years ago about her daughter who was a teenager. And she said, I don't know what to do with her. She's painfully shy. She's painfully shy. It's just awful. I said, does she feel that way about her life? And no, she's kind of comfortable with being painfully shy. So I said to her, it's maybe not her problem, but your problem. It's maybe not something that's terribly wrong with her, but maybe you have an attitude that being shy is somehow a problem. And you know, when I look at all these reality television programs, everyone seems to be born looking at a camera, you know? At least I'm proud of myself, because when I go into a group of people I don't know, I'm shy. And apart from being up in the pulpit, I'm somewhat of a wallflower. And I don't apologize for that. But my sense is, you know, we look at ourselves, we call the whole totality of who God made us, and we look at some of it and we say, weakness, 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 instead of saying strength, strength, strength. And that's why I look at John the Baptist as a good exemplar of not emulating him necessarily, but saying, you know, he was rough around the edges. He was brutally honest. He said what needed to be said. He was an ascetic and didn't eat fine food. He wore a hair shirt, so to speak. I mean, I have nothing in common with John the Baptist. Well, maybe some things. And yet God used him just as he was. And God can use you just as you are. When I was in a doctoral program at San Francisco Seminary, one of my fellow students was a woman named Sister Carol, who was a Sister of Mercy for many years, which means she was in India working with Mother Teresa. And I said, well, what was that like? And she said, it was awful. She said, it was just awful. I've never met a greater dictator than Mother Teresa. It was either her way or the highway. She said, you had to do it, and you had to do it right on time, promptly, and it had to be her way. No other way would do. And then she said to me, God love her, because she was doing God's will just as she was. God love her. And what Sister Carol didn't say, however, was that Mother Teresa, since 1959, had pretty much lost her faith. She could barely hold on to her faith, according to her letters and what her father confessor had said, but it didn't matter. Because God was using her, God knew her, God had formed her and knew her before she was born and was using her, and her weaknesses were not her weaknesses, but became strengths. So if you don't have a lot of faith this day, doesn't matter, because God will use you. If you don't have a lot of joy this day, it's okay, because God will still use you and God will always love you. Because indeed you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's not pathologize ourselves, shall we? Can we get away from that? You know, I'm not manic depressive, although some of you might think so, but I'm hypomanic. My tendency is to, you know, get a little mania there, and then I just go and go and go, and then I crash. And instead of saying, Lord, deliver me from that, I'm increasingly saying, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I'm not going to pathologize myself. I tend to be shy. Thank you for that. I'm not going to pathologize myself. I tend to either want to fight or flight. I'm not a good guy in the middle. I'm not going to pathologize that. I'd probably make a terrible Buddhist. I'm not going to pathologize that. I'm going to accept myself as I am, because Jesus died for me as I am. It means that I can always be a better me. You can always be a better you. But don't pathologize the wonderful work that God has done in each and every one of us. The world would be a poorer place without you. Believe that. And have great hope during this Advent season. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand and greet one another this morning.